Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Research is creating new knowledge. Neil Armstrong. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about whether or not you do research for your art or maybe even for your business or both. We do research?
Yes.
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 What's the next episode? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It depends on everything, actually. So if I don't... Whenever we're doing goals or just trying to figure out if I want to paint something. So I do research in the subject matter. So, for example, when I first started painting flowers, there's a difference between a male flower and a female flower. And if you don't get it right, somebody that knows flowers is going to call you out on it. So it's best to understand the anatomy of the flowers. Same with the chicken. I remember when I first painted a chicken and understand what that little wattle. That's waddle. Actually called a wattle underneath, and the comb is on top. And to understand those things is valuable for anybody that collects chickens. So by doing the research, you're showing respect, I think, for that particular subject, and you're gaining knowledge about that subject and its
the anatomy
yeah. and the infrastructure and how everything works together. Mm-hmm. And all that kind of plays in your mind when you're painting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and that, I mean, even goes with the art business by understanding the, you know, the ins and outs of what is marketing? What is social media? What was the reason that Facebook was created? Well, it was created so that people could communicate with each other. When you understand the foundation of the why it was created, you can then start to play in it like that. You know, it's meant to communicate. It wasn't really meant to say, hey, here's my product. You right. got to buy my product. You go, look at my painting. Isn't it great? You know,
yeah.
it was meant to communicate.
Bring people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by understanding that stuff, mm-hmm. you can better work within that infrastructure.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
I was joking.
You could tell my energy drink has really kicked in.
Well, I was laughing. I was telling Julia right beforehand. I was like, yeah, I do, I guess, research on some stuff. But I mean, business side, yes. And marketing and things like that. But I really had, when she gave us that challenge that one time of Japandi. Oh my gosh. I was like,
they'll never let me pick a challenge ever
again. No, they really won't.
Here we were doing, do something green, do something red. Julia comes in.
With rain.
Do something Japandi. And we're like, what?
What?
Is that a thing for real?
And I'm like, yes, I did some research on some trends. And this is a new trend. So let's do a Japandi piece.
But she was totally right. That's the research. And it was trending. And what was the Scandinavian one?
There
was
trending
thing for that too.
And, yes.
Yeah. And for those of us that aren't into trends, because I like paint animals. My research was, working
what's
on.
What's a waddle? What's a comb?
I want to paint a squirrel. Well, there's red squirrels. There's gray squirrels.
There's black squirrels. And, there's flying squirrels.
White squirrels too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw a picture of one of those.
In North Carolina.
So yeah. But yeah. And she's coming up with like Scandinavian. And I was like, well, how can I apply that to an animal?
I was the same thing. I'm like, Japandi is completely opposite of what I do.
I know, you're like all poppy and stuff, and
I'm like, okay. But yeah, so research, and then
like, so research.
Yeah, back to research. Sorry, Julie.
Yeah, just pick away.
I know, we love you.
But like, even when you do, even if you're putting a piece into Etsy, you really need to research the keywords and descriptions and the pricing.
I get dug into so much research now.
Well, you were making fun of me during that, the Etsy boot camp?
Yes.
Because of how many times I use the word research.
Yes, I know. I'm will you stop?
I may still even the text, because Julie and I were in it, and it wasn't where we could comment, like the Zoom comment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you said something about research, and Julie goes, she says research one more time. And I'm like, I know, there's a lot of research.
The research increased the views 30% in my Etsy shop. So,
hey, mine too.
I know, right? You got to do the research, keywords, research. Take a shot. No, just kidding.
Hey, that should be the game for this episode.
Every time we hear the word research.
Get your fireball out, guys.
I'll get my Celsius. What is it? Celsius energy drink. Those things are so good.
I know they are.
They are really good.
So what about research for artwork, though? I mean, you mentioned anatomy. You're a realist painter, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that. And I didn't really think about that much because I'm not a realist. I'm like, you know, I don't know.
But you paint like flamingos and stuff.
Yes.
You
got to understand that. I'm not taking it. I'm much more illustrative than I am realistic with it.
Well, even,
but I mean, you know, it's a flamingo by seeing it, but I'm much more illustrative. So I do a lot more of, I'll pick out, you know, 10 images of flamingos, and I may, like, I was working on a tiger because this year's Year of the Tiger, and I took a tiger head from one tiger, and I took a tiger body from another, and then I liked the way the tail was on this other one, and I composite that all together, and that to me is my version of research on a piece of art is, okay, how am I going to composite this all together? Okay, now I want the head to be bigger because I want there to be emphasis on the head, and so I'm not looking at it from a realist standpoint. I'm looking at more for an illustrative perspective.
Yeah.
It's how can I emphasize the Year of the Tiger? If I have the entire tiger there, okay, let's, you know, let's make the stripes gold and
That'd be good. Yeah.
That sort of thing is more along my research. And I did the same thing with flamingos.
Yeah. You know? And some of mine paintings, like there was a painting concept that I wanted to do where it was a lion actually jumping over somebody holding a shield. Mm-hmm. And so I did like a little photo shoot of the people holding, like I made cardboard shields and so they were like holding the cardboard shield. And so I had to do the research of a lion. Compare a lion to a person and how big it is so that I could draw it out semi-accurately. And I actually took it in Photoshop and was playing with it. And I still haven't completed the concept, but doing that kind of research for the realistic and, you know, pulling in the imagination, there's a lot of research that goes into this type of stuff. And then even the squirrels. Mm-hmm. So there's a squirrel painting I'm working on that doesn't really, it's not realistic. It's more storytelling.
Right.
And so it's these little squirrels, and I probably researched about 6 different images to where I got them, where I liked them, and one of them was even different type of squirrel. And then I was just like, you know, I want them to wear hats. So I found hats that I liked and stuff. But I painted those on the squirrels. Aww. Yeah, they're so cute now, but there's still more stuff that I want to do to it to tell the whole story. And it's kind of realistic, but not.
Right. But see, you're more storytelling in a children's book. And what I'm thinking about right now is as we're talking about this research and like you being a realistic painter and Rachel, you too, I'm thinking about like, okay, let's take Moana or Lion King and how much research really goes into those movies. I just bought these 2 books that are all about how they were created and drawn, the drawing process for each one, because they have a different drawing process based on their teams. And I'm really curious to see if they touch on how much research they do or the type of research that they do. Because you were just saying with, you know, holding the shield and what is atomically correct for how it's supposed to be. And then the lion jumping over and all those things. There's so much research that I don't think people realize actually do go. If you're doing a realistic or illustrative, because even if you're doing illustrative, the purpose of illustrative is to emphasize something about it. So it's just like in children's books, the little kids, the younger they are, the bigger their head is and the shorter the neck is. And then as a child older in a book, you know, they have a bigger neck and a little bit smaller head. You know, looking at those proportions and understanding that I think is important too, even no matter what form of, you know, really, I mean, I would, I would even argue possibly that abstract is the same way. You need to know, it's kind of like you need to know the rules before you can break them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Going back to the basics again.
Yeah.
Understand the basics before you can
break them. I never really thought it. That was just like a, aha moment just now. Yeah. So I was thought thinking, about that to that degree.
Well, even photography, we have a friend of ours who does photography, and he takes pictures of like historical and famous Black places and buildings and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had to do some research and find the history and what kind of, through his research, what kind of look did he want to have for his, his photography? You know?
Well, and two, in photography, depending on what perspective you're taking the photo from, mm-hmm. you may need to understand how you need to alter that perspective to make it appear more realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes depending on the angle you're shooting, it may be out distorted a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you may have to take that in Photoshop and undistort it a little bit.
And even our other friend who does nature photography, he's done research about where to go and hills and cubs and bears and you know what I mean? Like where can he find bear pictures and elk pictures and horse pictures and just cool things. And then, you know, he traveled to Iceland. He did a lot of, you know, research on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of work that goes into this that, and I think, a thought just kind of triggered there. Whenever we think about pricing our artwork, all of this research that you're doing is hours that contribute and should be attributed to the price that you put in there.
It should be, but it never is. I don't think it does.
Yeah.
Because you can sit on the couch and take 4 hours and be researching chickens, maybe not four. But
yeah, definitely not four.
But you know, I mean, if you go down the rabbit hole, oh, this is pretty, and then you look at little chicks, and then you're like, you know, you get different ideas, or how about this farm animal, and then you're down, and you're gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be 4 hours of research. So
based on that, how do you keep your research then? Like, I do a lot of mine in OneNote because I may want to reference it again later. I don't keep it necessarily with that piece of art that I'm creating. I keep it more in OneNote and tag it with that piece of art if I end up creating a piece with it. But how do you keep your research?
You know, for images, I do a lot of screenshots. But, you know, I like something that just triggered and kind of built a bridge in my brain that you said with OneNote. So I use NoteShelf. So why can't I just create a notebook in a note shelf that has the images that spoke to me for that particular piece.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah. And one thing I just did with this tiger piece I'm trying to work on, not happy with the first one, so I'm redoing it, is I actually just dumped all the images directly into Photoshop and made multiple artboards in Photoshop where I have, here's the tiger images, here's the foliage images, and
So is it another layer?
No, there are two different artboards, and then I have a third artboard that has the scanned piece that I actually drew it out in Photoshop in lieu of my pencil, and then I printed it and watercolored it.
So I was wondering, is it almost like those artboards? Are they kind of like vision boards type things?
They're just like an Illustrator also works on artboards. So it's literally like you have 5 pieces of paper that are 8.5 by 11 laying out on an art table. It's all in there in Photoshop.
Well, that's a neat idea.
And then that's another thing, it was research on how to create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which you is, we were talking about artboards. Photoshop and Illustrator and what's the other one? Photoshop, Illustrator, and like
Bridge?
Adobe Bridge?
No, I was just, well, who knows? I can't think. Canva. I mean, there's other things.
Yeah. All sorts of ways that you can do it.
So, and every way, you know, each way has a different little tweak or method. And you have to, you know, I guess that's education, but that's still research on how to make your piece look better.
Yeah. And well, I guess that piece, I actually ended up doing it a little different. I didn't keep it in OneNote that time because I went directly to the drawing board because it was a specific, very finite way I wanted it created. So, but most of the time I keep my research in OneNote.
I think I need to start doing that. It's really, I did it once with a hummingbird painting that I did. And so I put because what I like about, and I think OneNote does this, what I like about NoteShelf is that you can hand write in it with your little stylus.
Yeah.
And that way I was able to, you know, point to the picture and say, I like this component of it. And my thoughts are, and I would write it out. So that way, you know, 2 months later, when I'm finally ready to start working on this, I can revisit all my notes.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I love that.
And like OneNote automatically dates it mm-hmm. and puts a timestamp mm-hmm. on it when you are creating there. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And I'll be honest with you guys, I haven't really sat down like that in a while to put together a piece before I actually started painting it. Mm-hmm. You know, and lately it's been, I just start the piece like that day, like the cat painting that's hanging from the chandelier. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. I have a painting where there's a cat hanging from the chandelier.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're painting? You hang it from a chandelier? That's an interesting way.
I know. So that one, I had to go around the house and take weird pictures from weird angles and have the cat held up and, you know, so that get everything together. And then I immediately went to go paint it. I haven't prolonged the process to mm-hmm. do the research for mm-hmm. relatively complex pieces like the lion piece that I haven't touched, or the, you know, dogs and cats playing poker piece that I started 15 years ago that right. that is a drawing still.
So that brings the question, do the pieces take you, are they quicker doing it the way you've been doing it, or do they take you longer because you didn't do the research?
I think when I do the research, I get disenchanted with the actually completing the piece.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
For me yeah. nowadays, it's more like just get started on it and build the story as
you go.
That's interesting. Go. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're doing less research, but
yeah, I'm doing less research.
You're digging,
less thinking.
Digging in
it.
Right away, and
yeah,
yeah, I can see where that. Yeah, because I think Rachel, you bring up a good point about going down the rabbit hole mm-hmm. and getting that's too analytical about it. Also,
yeah. And if like with my dog and cat painting that I want to do, where they're all playing poker, it's all my current and past animals.
Right.
In this thing. And then, you know, they've got hidden cards and one's cheating and one's, you know, there's all sorts of things. There's canary missing. And I've made the drawing so complex, I don't actually want to paint it.
Yeah. I could see where that would happen too.
Yeah.
Where you over research it, because it is easy to mm-hmm. over research. Yeah.
Or you've overwhelmed mm-hmm. yourself.
Well, yeah. My husband wants that thing on and I already bought the canvas. He wants it on like a 4-foot by 5-foot because he wants it in the living room. And I'm sitting there thinking, you want huge. A dog and cat painting playing poker. In our living room.
Well, yes, because his wife painted it. Well, and it's all your past animals.
This is right. why you don't want to do it.
That is why I don't want to do it. And that canvas has sat blank for like 6 months.
You don't want it in your living room.
I don't think I do want it in my living room. Don't tell him that. Yeah. But no, well, and plus that adds a lot of pressure too to make sure yes, that it's really good.
Yeah.
And, maybe that's why you're avoiding it.
I think you're avoiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead, I'm painting my stupid little squirrels wearing, you know.
But
hats.
They're so cute.
They're
and
really
I will
cute.
Say, I love what you're painting now. Not that I didn't love what you were painting before, but I love the personality that's in the pieces
yeah.
that you are doing now versus the personality yeah, so previously.
Too. Yeah. Before there, it was very, there wasn't really, it was the personality of the animal itself. And that's what I tried to do. Now these animals are made up in my mind.
Yeah. And I really like that. Like your lion that you have with the clock and all that. Mm-hmm. There's not as much personality in that piece.
That one's
it's very,
story.
Personality is very flat. Mm-hmm. The painting's not very flat. Personality is. Where these other pieces you've been working on have so much personality and fun to them.
Yeah.
It's like we said before, you know, you're painting your joy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squirrels.
But remember though, someone is going to find personality and find meaning in that, like the lion.
Oh, the lion one, it's got a lot of meaning to it. But it's right. not fun.
It's not your personality. It's not the squirrels.
Right.
Right.
It's right. Not the it's not the squirrels. It's not which the they squirrels. All have meaning to them. But yeah, there's a certain level of personality that is coming out, I think, from doing less research.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't do the research. You can do the research.
Well,
because it does. Yeah. It's analysis paralysis
for
me.
There you go. That's
yeah.
what I'm gonna say.
And I just realized that, you know, I painted another butterfly yesterday and this one is not atomically correct.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a butterfly. But it's very
looks
geometric.
Like a butterfly. Wait, flies like a butterfly. Floats like a bee.
Floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. There you go.
Yeah. It takes three people to come up with it.
But it's more geometric.
Oh, so it's more stylized.
Yes.
That's cool.
And because I wasn't referencing anything, I just sat down and it's like, you know, I think I'm going to draw it like this.
Cool.
So, yeah, I do think there is a certain thing to be said about no research or very little research.
You know what I like? I know we talked about at one point, you know, how do you get into your creative zone? Mm-hmm. I would like to talk about maybe in the next episode or something about how do you get, like, we get into our creative zones and we have our boxes. How do you get into your creative zone outside of your box? Hmm. You know, maybe... Hmm. Everybody's staring at me.
I don't know.
We're thinking about that.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll have to do some research on that.
I know. But that's I think that's part of the point is to not do the research on that.
Yeah.
You know, and just get to that point, like what you just did where you played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I'm just going to see what happens.
Yeah. So how do you get to the point where you can go, hey, let's just see what happens.
So you guys let us know. Do you just sit down and play or do you do research on your pieces or what do you do research on? We'd love to hear from you guys. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.